This show was first broadcast on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM, thanks to New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and welcome to Korero Mai, talking about advanced care planning. If you were not able to speak up for yourself, how would your family, whānau, and healthcare provider know what matters to you? Advanced care planning is a process of thinking about, talking about and planning for your future healthcare and also end-of-life care. It's about identifying what matters to you.
This is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do with my life.
Well, kia ora and welcome everyone to Korero Mai. Let's talk advanced care planning on Access Radio Taranaki 1044 FM. I'm Mary Robertson, the Advanced Care Planning Facilitator at Taranaki DHB. Today we're going to hear some personal stories from people about the value of advanced care planning and why it's so important to be thinking, talking and sharing our wishes for our future healthcare. Kia ora, Nicola and Rachel. Thank you so much for allowing me to share your story with the listeners. Would you like to tell us a bit about yourself, Nicola?
Kia ora, Mary. I am 41 and I live in Inglewood with my two dogs. I have a greyhound and a golden retriever, and I have a number of chickens. Living it up here, I worked as a nurse for 12 years in a number of different areas, including orthopaedics, paediatrics, ED, ICU. I worked as a contractor for the police for a few years before the condition that I was born with decided to kind of rear its head more, and I have been unable to work since.
Well, thanks for that, Nicola. So what prompted you to start thinking about advanced care planning?
Well, the condition that I have, I was originally diagnosed with atherosclerosis at birth, and when I was 37, I was diagnosed with an extremely rare type of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome called musculocontractural Ehlers-Danlos, and it's a connective tissue disorder that affects everything. So all parts of my body are affected. I have aortic aneurysms in two places. I have digestive tract paralysis, so I have a feeding tube. My joints dislocate. I wear braces on a number of different limbs to stop them from doing that. Every part of my body is affected. So I thought that, you know, there have been times when I've been really unwell and unable to speak for myself. So I saw the value in advanced care planning. And because of my past experience as a nurse, really highlighted to me that there was something that I definitely needed to put in place.
That's absolutely awesome, Nicola. And have you ever been in hospital where the advanced care plan has been activated?
Not that it's been activated, but I recently had surgery, and it was really nice to know that my advanced care plan was there. I've had some pretty negative experiences with health professionals over the years, and not being listened to. And being misdiagnosed and mislabeled, and so having that there was a tangible thing for me and for the health professionals that were looking after me to know not only about my medical history but also about who I am as a person, and that when I present to hospital I'm unwell and I'm probably not myself and I'm not able to speak for myself, and so they get a glimpse of the person behind the patient.
That's such a wonderful story, Nicola. Thanks so much for sharing that. What message would you like to give to the listeners today about advanced care planning?
Do it. It doesn't matter whether you have chronic health conditions or you are well. Like, there is basically, all of us are going to be exiting this life in a cardboard box. Well, wooden box, cardboard box, who knows. But and so having that in place means that when the time comes for whoever of us,
you don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry. You know, awesome. It's there.
less stress that you have to think about.
Yeah, it's one less stress. But it's not even about, for me, it wasn't about the fact that I might be on my deathbed. It's for when I'm living and want my health team to know about me and my wishes and what drives me with my health. And so they can treat me holistically rather than just as a patient with a typical or particular disease or illness.
That's awesome, Nicola. I mean, it's just such an awesome gift, isn't it, to be able to share that with your family, your loved ones.
Yeah.
And we've got Rachel here as well with us, and Rachel's just starting to think about advanced care planning. And it's a process.
It is.
It's not something that you just pick up the information pack and fill it out there and then. You would agree with me, you need to take time.
Yeah, you do need to take time. It's a bit sobering thinking about when you're not possibly going to be able to speak for yourself. We like to sort of think that we always will be in control, but there will probably be times when we're not. And so to have that there is really comforting, and certainly is comforting for me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Mm.
Okay, let's take a short break and listen to some music.
To Kori Romai, let's talk advanced care planning on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. I'm Mary Robertson, the Advanced Care Planning Facilitator at Taranaki DHB, and we've just listened to Nicola and Rachel's favourite piece of music, Oceano, from the Tree of Life Suite, played by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. My next guest today is my husband, Ewan Robertson. We've both had a very personal journey involving advanced care planning just last year when Ewan developed severe chest pain and was airlifted from Taranaki to Waikato Coronary Care Unit. Let's hear Ewan's story.
Thanks, Mary, for inviting me onto your show today. Hello, listeners. This is a personal story for myself. We had just moved across to Taranaki, and Mary had started this fantastic new job as the Advanced Care Planning Facilitator. And I remember that Mary had told me that her job spanned across 5 Midland DHBs, that anybody who'd filled in one of these ACPs would be able to be accessed in any of those 5 Midland DHB hospitals. So I thought it was a really good idea. So I did start writing my ACP after Mary's guidance, but I never actually got it finished. Anyway, 2 weeks into arrival, I was putting out the bins one day, on a bin day, and when I had a severe chest pain, and I'd already had previous heart surgery, so I knew what to expect. So I called Mary, and she told me to get to the hospital straight away, so I rocked up at ED, and they promptly admitted me, and I was put up in the ward. And of course, Mary came to see me with an ACP form that I hadn't finished. So we finished it there and then. We had a long discussion. We finished it there and then. And basically, I just didn't want to be brain dead. I didn't want to be fed by tubes and stuff. So having the confidence in the conversation to write that down, I knew then that I would be safe in the hospital and that they would follow my wishes. So we sat down and we could record that. And then Mary went away to her office and she uploaded it onto the system. We gave a copy to the doctor on the duty and they put it in my file. And then I was in the hospital for 4 days in Taranaki. And it was obvious to me that they couldn't do anything for me there because they didn't have the facilities. So they had arranged to airlift me to the Waikato Hospital. And of course, Mary had just started her new job, so she didn't really have any sick time. So she asked if she could come with me. And of course, they said, no, there's no room in the plane or the helicopter and that Mary would have to drive up. Now, as you all know, Taranaki's in the middle of nowhere, and it's a 3-hour drive to Waikato through the gorge with a very little cell reception. So I was quite happy that we had an ECP in place just in case Mary couldn't get to me in time, in case anything happened to me. So I went up in the plane and Mary drove along to the Waikato. But what gave me peace of mind was that I knew that when I got to Waikato, because what Mary had told me, that the 5 DHBs all had access to my file, that I could tell the staff there that I had an APCV activated and that they could follow my instructions. Anyway, on the aircraft, we were talking away and I'd mentioned to the flight attendant, medic, that I had an ECP in place, and he said, yes, I've got a copy with me. And he brought a copy that Mary had uploaded and been given to the doctor on the ward. So this medic had it with him. And on arrival to Waikato Hospital, I was taken immediately to the coronary care unit where the medic gave a brief handover and he handed over my ACP that I'd already completed. But I told the nurse there on duty that it was attached to my permanent record and file. So she went to the computer and looked out and just in case it had been updated since the medic had handed one over. So that gave me peace of mind that Mary knew when she was driving through, because she didn't have any cell reception, when she was driving through the gorge, that she knew that my ECP would be activated on arrival if I couldn't speak for myself. And that was a big thing that kept Mary going. It kept me going too. I was in a hospital in a strange location with no way to contact my wife, and my family weren't around either. So it was just good. It gave me comfort and care and a good quality of life that I knew that I had put in place. So it just may well be that ACP saved my life, because I did have surgery on my heart a couple of days later. Mary had arrived by this time and she was staying with friends, and I went through to have heart surgery and was given another 2 stents, which made a total of 4 stents. But during that whole operation, the whole incident, I knew at the back of my mind that my wishes were being followed to the letter because of my ACP that had been written and logged on my file. And I was actually very surprised when the Waikato staff said they could find it straight away. And that was a big bonus for me, because I was in a strange hospital, didn't have a clue who to talk to, didn't have a clue who to speak to. My wife was driving through the gorge, couldn't contact us, no cell reception. So I was really quite relieved that ACP followed me along the way. So here's my advice to you. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I certainly didn't know I was going to take a heart attack, putting the bins out. So it's important that you sit down with your family and friends and your family and you think about what's best for you. How do you want your care to go if you're admitted to hospital, suddenly? So thanks to that forward bit of planning by Mary and myself doing that ACP advanced care plan, that might just have saved my life. I was content with my care, was in line with my wishes, and what myself and my wife had discussed. So take the time to sit down and write down what you want your quality of care to look like if you get to hospital, and not what the doctor thinks is best for you. The medical team worked with me to save my life according to my wishes and instructions on my ECP. and the intrusions were at best minimum. Thanks all of you medical staff who followed my ACP instructions. Thank you, Mary, for letting me speak that, sharing that testimony with you.
Thanks, Ewan. What an awesome testimony, folks, to the value of having an advanced care plan. So let's take a short break now and we'll listen to some more music. Back to Koriro Mai, let's talk advanced care planning on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. I'm Mary Robertson, the Advanced Care Planning Facilitator at Taranaki DHB. Now that was For Your Eyes Only by James Bond. My husband just loves James Bond and he felt the lyrics of this song were so apt when we're thinking about advanced care planning. You don't have to read between the lines, it's already written. And it's already written in your ACP, if you've got your ACP. So there you go. Now, my next guest today is Kathy. Now, Kathy experienced a healthcare journey when she didn't have an advanced care plan. And she would really like to share with you all the importance of having these conversations and documenting down your wishes in a plan. But before we hear Kathy's story, I think it would be good, Kathy, if you could just share with the listeners today a wee bit about yourself.
Hello, I'm Kathy. I live on my own and I am a cancer patient. I've got multiple myeloma and I'm on chemo. This particular morning I woke up about 4 o'clock and I just didn't feel very well and I just I pushed my medical alarm button and I talked to the person there and I started feeling worse and worse and I said, please hurry up, I feel so bad and I don't remember anymore. I woke up in ICU and found that, well, I had this tube down my throat, my ventilator that was breathing for me, and then I found then they told me I'd had a cardiac arrest, which was caused, they think, through, they found I had pneumonia. And I couldn't answer them back. I couldn't talk with this thing in my throat. But before, just as I was waking up, I felt my hands on the bed and I went to move them. All I could feel was my fingertips on the bed and I couldn't move anything. I was just like alive, but nothing was moving. It was really scary at that moment. I'll never forget it. I must have went back to sleep or went unconscious again after that, because the next thing I could remember from there was I was able to move. So it must have been me coming out of my coma, maybe, that I was in. Anyway, what happened after that? Oh, yeah, they told me that I had had a cardiac arrest and they had spent 10 minutes resuscitating me and in the process had broken my ribs. and oh boy, that was so painful. And they were pumping me in full of antibiotics to because of pneumonia I had. And in the process, I lost all of use of my bodily functions. I had to wear a napkin. And oh, that was terrible. Every now and again, they had to roll me over, change my napkin, put another one on, and the pain of my ribs when they rolled me over was terrible. And I'm not sure, I think I might have spent that day, couple of days in ICU. Then I went out into the ward and they were just more or less doing the same thing. And that first 2 weeks was just, that was it. It was just more or less trying to drag myself back to life after that. And I spent a month in hospital, and while I was in there, they talked to me about the advanced care plan, which I had thought about before this happened, but never went anywhere with it, that if anything bad happened, I wouldn't want to be resuscitated. Well, in the meantime, I didn't have it, and I lived to tell this story, but I won't live to tell another one, because my body at the moment, after having that, has left me very sort of weak, and I don't go out much, and my body wouldn't stand another round of that, what I had. Mm-hmm. So I think this advanced care plan is actually quite a good thing to talk about and think about. If I'd have had it before, I wouldn't be here to tell the story. Whereas I think maybe you have to go through something to maybe think about having it. But if I'd had a bad stroke and was left maimed or anything wrong like that, or I would never want to be living with a machine keeping me alive, definitely the advanced care plan, not to be resuscitated, to me is a good way out. And I think that's, a good plan.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much, Kathy. Terrible story to hear from Kathy, but a very important story for you all to hear today. Because Kathy probably wouldn't want to have gone through all that had she really thought about it beforehand. So just a good outline of the value of thinking, talking and sharing and documenting your advanced care plan wishes. So once again, Kathy, thank you so much. That was just so awesome. And I know that was difficult for you, and I thank you so much for sharing that today. And we really do hope that will help somebody out there today thinking about their advanced care plan. So hey, folks, listen, we'll stop once again and we'll listen to some music.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Kōrero Romai. Let's talk advanced care planning on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. And that was Dancing Queen from ABBA, one of Kathy's firm favourites. And we've got one more guest today.
Okay, so now we're going to hear from Heather, a most beautiful story regarding her husband.
This is my experience of the value of a valid advanced care plan. When my husband was in the very early stages of dementia, we had conversations about the future in terms of his health and his wishes for his care. I made informal notes for his advanced care plan based on these conversations. A few years later, when my husband's dementia was fairly advanced, he was admitted to hospital with an aspiration pneumonia. To my shame, his advanced care plan had never been completed, so was not available to his GP practice, the hospital, or his residential care facility. We, as a family, had the stress of making decisions on his behalf. We did make good choices, though, based on our understanding of his wishes. He recovered and was somewhat rehabilitated. The experience made us very aware of the need to get his advanced care plan finalised. Our children and I, respecting my husband's original wishes, updated the simple 3-page document. We were quite specific about which treatments would be acceptable and which would not, under the various health circumstances we could predict may occur. For example, if there was a subsequent case of pneumonia, intravenous antibiotics or ventilation would not be wanted, but any medications which would aid his comfort would be wanted. We concentrated on treatments that would provide for his comfort. We then lodged the document with the hospital, GP practice, and the residential care facility. A year later, when my husband had a second acute ambulance admission to hospital, which was necessary because it was after hours and a GP was not available, we were greeted by the emergency department doctor. He explained he had looked up my husband's records, found he had an advanced care plan, had read it, and therefore the treatment would respect the path outlined. He asked if I understood this and was I in agreement. It was such a relief to know that my husband's wishes were understood and were to be followed. Having the doctor read and follow the advanced care plan was invaluable in helping the emergency department visit run relatively smoothly. After minor necessary investigations and some pain relief, we were able to ambulance my husband back to his hospital home within a few hours and with a script for medications should they be required to maintain his comfort. Procrastination had been our problem, but these experiences proved to us the value of having had the conversation and of finally writing and lodging the document with the appropriate organisations.
Thank you so much, Heather. What a beautiful testament to having an advanced care plan.
Everybody needs a little sunshine.
So, there we are, another aspect of advanced care planning and the importance of Kōrero Mai. Thanks so much for taking time to tune in today. Remember, your voice is important. So, why not start the conversation today with your loved ones, family and whānau?
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.